The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Part 4, The Yoga of Self-Perfection, Chapter 2, The Integral Perfection, page 616. A divine perfection of the human being is our aim. We must know then first what are the essential elements that constitute man's total perfection. Secondly, what we mean by a divine as distinguished from a human perfection of our being. That man, as a being, is capable of self-development and of some approach, at least, to an ideal standard of perfection which his mind is able to conceive, fix before it and pursue, is common ground to all thinking humanity, though it may be only the minority who concern themselves with this possibility as providing the one most important aim of life. But by some, the ideal is conceived as a mundane change, by others, as a religious conversion. The mundane perfection is sometimes conceived of as something outward, social, a thing of action, a more rational dealing with our fellow men and our environment, a better and more efficient citizenship and discharge of duties, a better, richer, kindlier, and happier way of living, with a more just and more harmonious associated enjoyment of the opportunities of existence. By others again, a more inner and subjective ideal is cherished, a clarifying and raising of the intelligence, will, and reason, a heightening and ordering of power and capacity in the nature, a nobler ethical, a richer aesthetic, a finer emotional, a much healthier and better governed vital and physical being. Sometimes one element is stressed, almost to the exclusion of the rest. Sometimes, in wider and more well-balanced minds, the whole harmony is envisaged as a total perfection. A change of education and social institutions is the outward means adopted, or an inner self-training and development is preferred as the true instrumentation. Or the two aims may be clearly united, the perfection of the inner individual, the perfection of the outer living. But the mundane aim takes for its field the present life and its opportunities. The religious aim, on the contrary, fixes before it the self-preparation for another existence after death. Its commonest ideal is some kind of pure sainthood, its means a conversion of the imperfect or sinful human being by divine grace, or through obedience to a law laid down by a scripture, or else given by a religious founder. The aim of religion may include a social change, but it is then a change brought about by the acceptance of a common religious ideal and way of consecrated living. A brotherhood of the saints, a theocracy or kingdom of God reflecting on earth the kingdom of heaven. The object of our synthetic yoga must, in this respect too, as in its other parts, be more integral and comprehensive, embrace all these elements or these tendencies of a larger impulse of self-perfection and harmonize them, or rather unify. And in order to do that successfully, it must seize on a truth which is wider than the ordinary religious and higher than the mundane principle. All life is a secret yoga, an obscure growth of nature towards the discovery and fulfillment of the divine principle hidden in her, which becomes progressively less obscure, more self-conscious and luminous, more self-possessed in the human being by the opening of all his instruments of knowledge, will, action, life, to the spirit within him and in the world. Mind, life, body, all the forms of our nature are the means of this growth, but they find their last perfection only by opening out to something beyond them. First, because they are not the whole of what man is. Secondly, because that other something which he is the key of his completeness and brings a light which discovers to him the whole high and large reality of his being. Mind is fulfilled by a greater knowledge of which it is only a half-light. Life discovers its meanings in a greater power and will, of which it is the outward and as yet obscure functioning. Body finds its last use as an instrument of a power of being, of which it is a physical support and material starting point. They have all themselves first to be developed and find out their ordinary possibilities. All our normal life is a trying of these possibilities, an opportunity for this preparatory and tentative self-training. But life cannot find its perfect self-fulfillment till it opens to that greater reality of being, of which by this development of a richer power and a more sensitive use and capacity, it becomes a well-prepared field of working. Intellectual, volitional, ethical, emotional, aesthetic, and physical training and improvement are all so much to the good, but they are only in the end a constant movement in a circle without any last delivering and illuminating aim, unless they arrive at a point when they can open themselves to the power and presence of the Spirit and admit its direct workings. This direct working effects a conversion of the whole being, which is the indispensable condition of our real perfection. To grow into the truth and power of the Spirit, and by the direct action of that power, to be made a fit channel of its self-expression, a living of man in the divine, and a divine living of the Spirit in humanity, will, therefore, be the principle and the whole object of an integral yoga of self-perfection. In the process of this change, there must be, by the very necessity of the effort, two stages of its working. First, there will be the personal endeavor of the human being, as soon as he becomes aware by his soul, mind, heart, of this divine possibility, and turns towards it as the true object of life, to prepare himself for it, and to get rid of all in him that belongs to a lower working, of all that stands in the way of his opening to the spiritual truth and its power, so as to possess, by this liberation, his spiritual being, and turn all his natural movements into free means of its self-expression. It is by this truth that the self-conscious yoga aware of its aim begins. There is a new awakening and an upward change of the life motive. So long as there is only an intellectual, ethical, and other self-training for the now normal purposes of life, which does not travel beyond the ordinary circle of working of mind, life, and body, we are still only in the obscure and yet unillumined preparatory yoga of nature. We are still in pursuit of only an ordinary human perfection. A spiritual desire of the divine and of the divine perfection, of a unity with him in all our being, and a spiritual perfection in all our nature, is the effective sign of this change, the precursory power of a great integral conversion of our being and living. By personal effort, a precursory change, a preliminary conversion, can be effected. It amounts to a greater or less spiritualizing of our mental motives, our character and temperament, and a mastery, stilling, or changed action of the vital and physical life. This converted subjectivity can be made the base of some communion or unity of the soul in mind with the divine and some partial reflection of the divine nature in the mentality of the human being. That is as far as man can go by his unaided or indirectly aided effort, because that is an effort of mind, and mind cannot climb beyond itself permanently. At most, it arises to a spiritualized and idealized mentality. If it shoots up beyond that border, it loses hold of itself, loses hold of life, and arrives either at a trance of absorption or a passivity. A greater perfection can only be arrived at by a higher power entering in and taking up the whole action of the being. The second stage of this yoga will therefore be a persistent giving up of all the action of the nature into the hands of this greater power, a substitution of its influence, possession, and working for the personal effort until the divine to whom we aspire becomes the direct master of the yoga and effects the entire spiritual and ideal conversion of the being. To be continued to the culmination of this chapter.